The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Foot Clan, the ultimate draft kit is ready. It is available for you right now. UltimateDraftKit.com. Look, you know you're going to be getting ready for those drafts because those are coming up sooner than you can imagine, just a couple weeks away. Get the work in. Get our sleepers, our breakouts, our busts, our full projections, and these things are getting updated as soon as the news breaks. Get in there right now. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Excited to be with you Saturday, July 22nd. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Oh, baby.
Jason Moore, Mike Wright, I'm Andy Holloway. The Deucers are here as well.
It's a ragtag bunch of Deucers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Al Borland's here, the Rapscallion is here, and then we just found another bald guy.
Yeah. Well, Brooks had a little too much hair.
Oh.
So we had to find someone who had less hair than Brooks, and that's that's Josh.
That was a really quick YouTube cut away from the baldness.
Did you see how shiny it
was? Was there a lot of reflection on the screen?
Oh, he's in the back shadows. In the shadows, yeah.
Papa Josh over there. No, we're excited to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to this show. Genuinely, you're why we do this podcast. And that's not lost on us. Like, without the listenership, the Foot Clan, we wouldn't get to do what we do. And you are our, in truth, you're our greatest form of marketing possible. Like, we produce this show year round, and you telling your friends, your family, leaving the reviews, comments on YouTube, all of that stuff, that genuinely helps the show. So
it certainly does.
We super appreciate it.
We appreciate you, and we appreciate your courage.
You know who doesn't appreciate this show right now? The blades of grass that are getting annihilated because it's Saturday.
Oh, because they're out there.
Yeah.
They're mowing
the lawn.
Unless they are in Arizona.
We have to talk about it.
We really do.
It's unbelievable.
It's bad. It's real bad. It's so bad that our studio air conditioning is giving up. It's just saying, we can't do this anymore.
So, a funny aside, we're looking out in the backyard, and my wife says, did the broom melt to the grass?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
One of the kids had left a broom out, and I look out, and the broom definitely looks like it had, and I was melted. Mm-hmm. And I said, crap, I think you might be right. Luckily, it was not just attached to the grass.
Like melted the plastics together?
But the broom, the sweeping part of the broom was very wilted.
Yeah, every state's got its, not every state. Most states have their challenges. Maybe you've got humidity. Maybe you've got blizzards. Maybe you have months where you can't go out and golf. But we're in the thick of our challenges right now. This is the hottest.
Please have some respect for us right now.
This is the hottest 20-day stretch in the history of the state.
Mm-hmm.
We were at, 2 days ago, 119. Our low temperature for the day
how low it got at night.
The lowest of the day was 97 degrees.
That's nice.
So
I have under this table right now, if you're watching on YouTube, I have a fan blowing on my legs. It's just right here.
It's the only way to survive right now.
So, yeah, have some sympathy. Jason has said a lot of, I would say, just like not. he's pulling the fan out.
It's so hot.
It's really hot. We are stuck to the chairs, but we are here for you. And we've got another divisional breakdown show for Saturday. Very excited to get into it. We are in the NFC South. And we got a quick question on today's show. We've got a live show coming up Saturday, August 26th at the Palace Theater in Los Angeles. If you would like to come and join us, there are some seats remaining at ballerslive.com. The mezzanine is filling. The center is now sold out.
Get in there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
We've got big things planned. Ballerslive.com, the ultimate draft kit. You heard Mike talk about it. Available right now. Prime up for your drafts. Lots of cool tools in there, including the draft analyzer, where we will break down your draft. If you're mock drafting and you want to see what we think of the decisions you've made, plug your team in there. And we will let you know which of us agrees with the decisions you made, the players, and it will help form your strategy for the upcoming drafts.
And I will say, I don't know if we've mentioned it on the show, on the podcast or not, when we're talking about the live show. It's really a double show. Because we record, you know, the podcast, so you can be involved with that, the cheering, and a couple mailbag questions. But then once the show is done, we do an entire Q&A where those are entirely the questions from the audience, and then that becomes our special footcast for the week. So it's double trouble.
Yeah, and Jason, you can bring your Gooch fan.
Oh, I will have it. I always do.
to keep you cool. And I
patent pending.
Kind of regret saying that. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Quick question of the day comes from Mark in Sydney.
Oh, bonjour.
There you go.
And wait, is there a Sydney in the U.S.?
Unlikely. I would say that.
There's only one. I would go very likely.
Well, I feel like if you're in the U.S.
I'm on it.
You would say Mark in Sydney, Ohio. You wouldn't just say Sydney because you know we're going to assume
Sydney, Florida.
We're going to assume
Sydney, North Dakota.
It's the Opera House.
Yeah, this is he's literally sending us a message from the Opera House.
Yes. It could be the bridge.
Yeah, Mike's climbed that bridge.
Oh my!
Shout out to the bridge.
Want to talk about problems with your gooch?
What?
Oh man!
What? Do you mean like feeling nervous?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Fear of heights.
Yeah.
I thought it was like sweat.
No. Things clench.
Welcome to the Gooch Cast. hey, this
That's
one's
three mentions. We need like a Pee Wee's play.
It's not
confetti
a
explodes.
Saturday has a feel to it, guys. Mark and Sydney. Hey, ballers. How much do you factor in the other team's improvement when you are making a trade? I.e., the trade will help your team, but will help their team as well.
I can jump in.
Sure. I have an answer, and I'm sure Jason does.
So. To me, there's two types of trades. It depends on your league format, of course. If you're in a complete 100% redraft where you don't keep any players, and this is simply I'm trying to improve my team for right now for this season, and I consider it a lot. Because I don't want trade offers coming to me where I look at them and go, why would I possibly trade away my run? I have two running backs. Why would I trade you one of them and decimate my team? Okay, I improve at my wide receiver position, but it destroys the structure of my team. So I personally do factor it in because I want people to factor it in when they're sending me a trade. But there's also keeper leagues and dynasty trades, and that is I am sending you a very lopsided offer because I know you don't want to trade this player. So I'm willing to pay up or, you know, pay the piper, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I don't consider it. I consider the story. I consider the argument of why you should do the deal. So in that sense, I'm looking at your team and I'm finding a reason. But I'm not actually – I don't want you to be better as an opponent, not in reality. I want you to believe you're getting better. because that's
well,
how
I think that means you factor in what their team needs are.
Yes, I do factor in the team needs to make a strong case for the trade. But and I think that's really important to get trades through. So I think we're agreeing. I just the net result is I want the trade to go through for me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really care. I'm never going to assume someone's going to take a trade if they don't think it helps their team, and they're probably smart enough to know whether or not it does or not. Which means I am trying to improve the other team. I think the heart of this question is, like, do you worry if a trade improves your team? Like, you believe, like, this trade helps me, but I think it helps them even more. Do I not make the trade? And I would say no. Your goal, no as in, yes, make the trade.
Correct.
Your goal is to just keep making your team better and better and better. Other teams, that's their goal. You worry about your team. The only difference, the only time that I hesitate at all, is if it's with Andy. Because if you have a mortal enemy in your league, then okay, maybe this time it's personal. And he is my, in our league of record, we're in the same division. So, Mike, it would be you, I'm sure, if we were in the same division. But it's just the fact that, you know, fantasy football-wise, and specifically league of record-wise, I hate you.
Right.
Andy.
No.
Like, yeah. Deep inside.
No, that's I
hate you.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Good.
That says a lot.
I mean that with love.
I mean, I'd consider it if it was like heading right into the playoffs and I knew I was going to face those teams in the playoffs, if it really strengthened them. But otherwise, I agree. I think it's exactly like the idea where people say, well, I'm going to draft two tight ends so that I can go trade one to somebody. Like, you just don't know all the possible outcomes. Like, it just doesn't make sense to bank on one team making them better is going to hurt you. And you don't know. Like, Dynasty, you don't really – the teams are so deep. It's not an obvious – like, everybody has players at every position. So even though there are strengths and weaknesses on your team, you can kind of mix and match a lot more in Dynasty. Picks come into play. Teams may have different goals. Like, in that situation, it's harder to know what the team's weaknesses maybe are, but you're not going to get trades through if you can't make a story out of it. If you can't paint the picture for somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. We don't have very much news to talk about. This is being recorded about a day early than when you're hearing it. So if there's something big that's transpired, we will cover it on Tuesday.
Oh, something big happened, Andy.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
There was a big trade.
Oh, boy.
The Jets have traded wide receiver Denzel Mims to the Lions. There was a lot of rumors that he was going to get cut. But I guess in the 11th hour, the Detroit Lions came in, which this is a fantastic bet, in my opinion, for the Lions, because it was, well, like a conditional seventh. Mims and a conditional seventh for a conditional sixth. I mean, this is absolutely nothing, and they have Jameson Williams, who should be the future of the wide receiver, I guess the field-stretching future, because Amon-Ra is there. But he's suspended for six games because of the gambling situation, so they need someone else, and Marvin Jones he's a little bit older, so Mims, I would say it's fair to say at this point Mims is not going to turn into the player that we had hoped. He was a second round pick.
Him a lot.
Yeah, he's big, he's very athletic, but the Jets have seen enough to say that he's clearly not a future. But for the Lions to just rent a player who can run a nine route really, really fast and be tall, it's a great move.
Who is the who's the Lions receiver from last year that kept catching touchdowns?
DJ Chark?
No, that was one of them.
Who? Oh, Khalif
Josh
Raymond.
Raymond. That's it. Khalif Raymond. If you have those guys that can go make a play here or there, like his best storyline possibility as a player at this point, because he didn't prove himself in New York, is the Breshad Perriman type of narrative.
Yeah.
Like, come in and make an impact at some point. It's weird because, like, Mims didn't get a real shot and we liked him, and Elijah Moore didn't really get a real shot last year and a lot of people like him. So it's weird that the Jets would jettison those guys. But also Breece Hall, Randall Cobb, CJ Uzama, all on the PUP to start camp, can be activated at any time.
This was to be expected. This is not new information with Breece Hall, but when you hear it, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
New as in you expected it to be the case.
Right, yeah. This is...
It's new as in they actually did it, but it's not new as in...
Exactly.
A setback or something.
Correct.
Let's get divisional.
Just looking at the standings from the NFC South last year, I'm laughing because
it's the mucky muck.
It's the swamp, man. We're looking at these divisions. We've been going through the breakdowns. Tampa Bay won. Tampa Bay lost the division. They were the first place losers with a negative 45-point differential.
Oh, my
which was the most in the division at 8-9.
As in the most negative.
So they were the playoff Buccaneers were 8-9. The Panthers, Saints, and Falcons were 7-10. The point differential in this division, everybody was negative. And yet all four had a shot to make the playoffs as late as week 17. You know, we were working on the YouTube thumbnail for this episode. And I'm sitting there going like, who do I put up on that thumbnail? Because there aren't elite fantasy options, not a lot of them, not like a normal, like some of these divisions we've gone through. There are young rookies
rookies or sophomores
that are like emerging talents. But when you talk about, there isn't somebody that's gone out and established themselves for fantasy. There are players that we know will, like Bijan. There are players with immense talent like Pitts and Olave, but you've got Bryce Young, a rookie quarterback. You've got Miles Sanders changing divisions, who's been inconsistent. You've got Drake London, who's been inconsistent. And you've got youth, but you don't have stalwarts in this division. And it's weird.
Well, you got the old guys, but Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, but they've moved from Tom Brady to probably Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, the win total for the Buccaneers as we start this divisional breakdown was 11.5 last year. Now, they did win the division, but it's down to 6.5 this year with the departure of Tom Brady.
And there's no way – I mean, nobody believes that Baker will play 17 games, right? I just can't imagine that. They're going to lose so many games. It's going to be one of those situations where you just are forced to throw things at the wall and make changes for change's sake, even
You're
if they still
right.
believe that Baker is the best option in week 8 when they're 2-6.
Yeah, you don't stay as a starting quarterback if you lose that many games.
Yeah.
You just don't, because at some point in time you try something new.
Yeah, and you go say, we're going to Trask to the number one pick.
Possible. And but that being said, 8-9 won you a division.
And
could Baker get you to 8? Maybe.
And this year, 8 might do it again.
It might.
So
seven might do it. Jason.
They were rough last year. 25th in points per game despite being second in pace of play. And so, you know, they threw the ball 751 times. That was insane. I mentioned it the other day in the Tennessee breakdown. That's 20 times more than the Titans threw it per game. This year is going to be different. It just is. Tom Brady's not running the show. The pace of play is going to be different. You're going to have to depend more on your offense or on your defense, because your identity, you can't come back the way that you could before. You know, Todd Bowles, good luck. Baker Mayfield, Chase Edmonds, new additions. Tom Brady and his $35 million counting against the cap. They have the most dead cap money in the entire NFL, $74 million. This looks like a full reset year. I mean, what kind of is troublesome about that, and we can start with the wide receivers, is that, you know, Godwin and Evans are still very, very talented wide receivers. If they were in a better situation, we would be very excited about their potential.
For sure.
But that storyline is what we said about Metcalf and Lockett last year, and we were surprised.
Yeah. So you can say, okay, we've seen let's paint the rosier picture, because my current projection is extraordinarily pessimistic. I'll spoil and say that I think the Buccaneers are going to finish last in this division. But there is an outlook here where you say, well, Godwin, not only just Godwin, but he's 27 years old, and he's now in year 2 from a pretty devastating knee injury. We weren't believing he would be back by week 1 last year. He was. So he should be at his best, like peak Godwin. And you've got Mike Evans, who's obviously a dominant force, has never not had a 1,000-yard season. And Baker Mayfield, while he has been terrible lately, you know, the one point in time, he was the future of the NFL, and that wasn't that long ago. So if he could put it together, there is a rosy outlook here where they can be okay. I think I don't believe PFF's rating on this offensive line. I think the offensive line is going to be a massive problem.
Where do they have them?
I think they've got them at 14 projected for this season.
It's definitely healthy.
Yeah, I mean, they lost some pieces last year to injury, but they've lost some pieces from that unit that they finished the season with last year as well. So, to me, I don't think that with this offensive line, Baker or Trask can get the job done, regardless of the weapons. Hopefully, you have a Geno Smith-style surprise, and if that happens, they could win the division. But I've got them finishing last.
And it's a surprise for a reason. You know what I mean? It's not the expectation because generally that doesn't happen. So you're right. I mean, it could be Baker and Kyle Trask, which casts some shade on Evans and Godwin's potential. Let's try to find some diamonds in the rough here. Where, you know, Rashad White is going in the seventh round, running back, third round pick, capable pass catcher, wasn't good on the ground last year, but you can chalk a lot of that up to kind of abysmal play as a team altogether. I mean, we watched Tom Brady's 751 pass attempts. I'm not sure that their air yards on those pass attempts were further than where Rashad White was running.
No.
So could it be better, more efficient for Rashad White another year into the league, the opportunity, the pass catching? I think that's possible. I think he could. You know, Carolina wasn't a great football team last year, but you had Deonta Foreman that had a year where he was relevant for fantasy.
Yeah, the efficiency for Rashad White cannot be as bad as it was. I mean, it just would be nearly impossible. 5.8 yards per reception is abysmal. 3.7 yards per carry is abysmal. So his efficiency should go up. And as far as volume goes, even if they run a lot fewer plays without Tom Brady, which I would expect, without Leonard Fournette, his volume should be pretty assured. So if you're looking for a diamond in the rough, it is Rashad White.
Can I ask a nonsensical question?
I love that.
It's Saturday.
If he wanted to get that yards per catch up, if you start juggling the ball, when is the catch actually counted? So let's say Tom Brady dropped it to you at the 2 yard pass, and you just started kind of like, whoa, and then you catch it at the 5 yard line. Is that a five?
Pretty sure yard? That doesn't make any. That's not depth of target. It's yards per reception. So it's like how many total yards receiving did you have divided by how many? I don't think it matters.
Oh, that's right, because we're yeah.
Yeah, it's you would,
but
it's,
but that same question remains on average depth of catch.
Yeah,
catch.
Sure. Yeah.
So would that?
Yes, that would be how you pad your numbers. Just tap it to yourself further down the field.
Got it. Yes,
coaches love that.
I told you it was nonsensical. Okay, so right now Mike Evans, seventh round pick, Chris Godwin, fifth round pick. To me, and in every mock draft we've done, I'm taking the lower guy. But you guys have not done that. You guys have been on the Godwin side.
It's a trap.
One's the trap?
Mike Evans is a trap, and this Mike Evans won me a championship last year, a couple of them because week 17. But I'm telling you, last year, if you didn't personally experience, like Mike Evans' numbers last year seemed fine. You know, you look at the season total. You go back to the Truth About Wide Receivers series, and the whole goal is like, well, this player might have finished. You know, he finishes with wide receiver 16. Did he help you? Oh, my goodness, no. He helped you win a championship if you had him in your lineup
in
week 17.
He helped you a few times.
I understand and relate to the net result of Evans' year last year not truly helping you. But I also watched the games. Tom Brady retired. Tom Brady was atrocious. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady missed a wide-open Mike Evans a lot last year.
Tom Brady last year was Big Ben with the Steelers where he sucked. And then you're like, well, it can't get worse than sucky Big Ben. Oh, yes, it could. Oh, yes, it will. Tom Brady last year is better than what they have now.
But
I'm only saying that not because that you might be right. That might be the case. But what I'm saying is that Mike Evans as an actual talent, you know, I don't think I saw a depression in on the field. I didn't see him decline in separation or in getting open down the field. He was missed frequently. He was a downfield target. Brady couldn't do that anymore.
And now,
do you agree with that, Mike, or am I out of my mind?
No, I'm in agreement. I think that it's still going to be a very hot, cold type of a season for Mike Evans. But you're drafting him as currently the wide receiver 33. This is not you drafted Mike Evans. Where would he have gone last year? Fourth?
Yeah,
maybe fifth round? So your expectations are set much lower. And for a player who's always had 1,000 yards every year of his career to be available in the seventh round because the concern about the quarterback is so strong. Like, that's just, it's fully baked into his ADP.
That's
and
the
I
part,
think that I'm perfectly fine taking it.
It was a seven-game disaster for Evans last year because his first, if you look at the season, his first 9 weeks he was on pace for, and that was with an injury mixed in, almost over 1,300 yards and seven touchdowns. So, you know, I just wonder if I think it's not fair to Mike Evans to have a seven-game stretch in his career for a guy that's finished that consistently with his baked-in ADP being, you know, Evans in the seventh round?
Yeah.
This is crazy to me.
So I'm happy that you're listening. You get both sides, right? You get the value on Mike Evans in the seventh round, a guy who's never not had 1,000 yards, didn't look like he lost it on the field. And if you think that's a value, take him. I'll be passing on him because Mike Evans is a 70 reception type of player, right? This isn't a consistent guy. This is a guy who has big plays, big games, and that's worked for most of his career because he's been a touchdown guy. I mean, he's, you know, you look back and it's like, okay, 14 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns, 8, 12, 12. He's a monster for touchdowns. If those don't come, you end up with what you experienced last year. Last year, he had three games, I believe,
yes,
where he
did.
Scored a touchdown.
Yeah, three touchdowns in the first 17 weeks.
Yeah, so
16 weeks.
Right, and then he had the three touchdown game in week 17. And so you felt like when a guy like that who's not a volume player isn't getting the touchdowns, you end up with 6 fantasy points, 5 fantasy points, 6.8 fantasy points. You just end up with, like, I'm disappointed every week. So the question to me on a low volume guy is, well, will the low volume guy get touchdowns? And on this team, this version with this quarterback play, I don't think he gets touchdowns. He can.
So he was more consistent than Chris Godwin. He was 47% of his games, he was giving you a meaningful fantasy performance. Godwin was at 41% over his last 17 games. From a fantasy perspective, Godwin is not more assured than Mike Evans. He just feels safer because he'll be closer to the line of scrimmage for Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield is going to take chances. This was Jameis Winston, how would you feel?
Oh, I'd feel great.
See, I think Baker's going to throw the ball more than you think down the field.
I think Baker will not be given time in the pocket to throw the ball downfield,
Brady. This is a good debate, and that's what it is. We will see it on the field. I like the price for Evans. If I'm choosing between the two, I'm not spending two rounds earlier on Godwin personally, because all your arguments I agree with in terms of the offense, not great, line, what's your running back, your tight end is, you know, another story. But why would I spend two rounds ahead if both guys were disappointments last year? That's the part that's hard for me.
Right, and for me, it's simply the fact that if both of these guys end up with four touchdowns on the season, I want the one who has 100 receptions instead of 70.
Yeah, it's fair, but Mike
100
Evans,
receptions is not going to be the same amount of yards.
Mike
Evans
will
probably have more yards.
Is far more likely of the two to have 8-plus touchdowns.
All right, Kate Otten. Sneaky?
Yes.
Mike loves Kate Otten.
I don't blame him whatsoever.
I don't love Kate Otten. But I love the fact that this is a starting tight end who is being drafted as the tight end 33?
42 receptions last year as a rookie. Jason, he's not a rookie anymore. You don't have to hate him by default.
Second-year tight ends are great. It's a good bet to beat their ADP and to have their win tight ends break out. It's commonly in year two now.
But really what I'm getting out of this is there's like a Baker Mayfield poop smear across this whole team for you.
Correct. For me, it's like, do you want the third target in pecking order for Baker? Because I don't.
But it's like people are drafting Tyler Conklin in front of Kate Otten.
Yeah, I've done it a million times. I'm pretty exposed to Tyler Conklin.
That one I'm not really opposed to.
Really?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean.
Okay, but I mean.
I want to be able to do that.
Thank you.
But I'm saying, like, Uzama is there as well. Just people are taking rookie Luke Musgrave for the Green Bay Packers over Kate Otten.
I wouldn't do that, I guess.
You guys are crazy.
No. I think he's sneaky, but he's sneaky in the way that I don't really care that much. Quick break.
I want to throw out one name, and this is
Oh, yes.
This is the name to monitor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Is running back Sean Tucker, yes. Because the dude is good. Like, he is a tremendously talented running back who unfortunately had really bad injury luck right as we were rolling into the draft, so that it ended up causing him to go completely undrafted, and he is still hurt right now. But look at what the depth chart is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of, we're talking about Rashad White going as running back 27 because you're like, well, he's there. Is Rashad White a good player? I think that's still up in the air as of right now. And Sean Tucker,
What about Keyshawn Vaughn, though?
But at this point, what year are we in Keyshawn Vaughn's career? Like 4? And
sounds right.
And the guy still hasn't been able to get on the field. So I just want people to be paying attention to the name of Sean Tucker, see if he gets healthy and starts making some splashes in training camp, because then you really need to move him on your radar.
Keep him in mind. All right, moving on. Quick break, back with the Panthers.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
All right, Carolina, last year projected for 6 wins. This year it's up to 7.5. They won 7 last year. Honestly, very impressive. Very impressive season for Steve Wilks taking over from Ja Rule.
Matt Ja Rule.
Murder.
It didn't work. The Matt Rule era, 11-27.
I mean, it worked for his bank.
Yeah, I mean, he took a Cliff Kingsbury approach to the... I mean, he was much worse, to be fair. I mean, at least Kingsbury made the playoffs. But also had challenges, had Ben McAdoo as his offensive coordinator last year.
Self-inflicted challenges.
Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, PJ Walker. I mean, at the end, it was like somebody new get in there. Every play, he could have been swapping them every play. This year, Frank Reich takes over. This was not an impressive by the numbers fantasy team last year in terms of points per game, pace of play, total yards, pass attempts, pass yards. They were at the bottom. But they were able to run the football last year. They were number one in expected points per rush attempt inside the red zone. The running game in the offensive line at times last year was, to me, much must-watch television.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone knew that passing the football wasn't an option, and they imposed their will the way that, like, Seattle used to do it in the past. And I was honestly very impressed. Deonta Foreman and
Chuba
both had big games at times. And then this offseason, they lost DJ Moore in the trade to go up and get Bryce Young. They lost Deonta Foreman, but they added Miles Sanders. They added Adam Thielen and DJ Chark to the wide receiver room, Andy Dalton. I think a great depth.
Depth. That was a deep fart.
Yeah.
I think a great depth.
I thought it was doing a like a Sylvester impression.
That was a full moment of like, did everybody hear what I heard?
Yep.
That was a please tell me that no one reacts to that.
Yeah. No. No one's going to hear about your depth.
Isn't that the best way to describe Andy Dalton, though, as a depth?
Yeah sure.
He's depth good depth. Piece.
Thumper and Thuckatash.
Oh, boy. Happy Saturday. It's hot in here.
It's Saturday.
Yes. It's very warm. I need a Gooch fan.
Can we get the Gooch? That's number
four. Oh, yeah. We got two more. Two more to work in.
Let me crank up the Gooch fan. Hayden Hurst as well. Right. So, and they drafted Bryce Young and Jonathan Mingo. It's a reset on offense.
Yeah.
Frank Reich gives you some confidence that they're going to figure some things out. I am a big Bryce Young fan. I believe that he will be capable of not a top half offense, but also not 29th in total yards, 29th in pass attempts. Like, you're going to need to utilize his arm, his IQ, not just hand the ball off all year long. So I know that rookie quarterbacks traditionally, I mean, there's been four since 2010 that have surpassed 4,000 yards, only three with 25 passing touchdowns. But 3,800 and 23 touchdowns, I mean, I think that's in the cards for Bryce Young.
It's certainly possible.
I really do. And there'll be some production there. Where is it? Where's it going to be?
Yeah, that's a big question. I do think that Hayden Hurst is a little bit undervalued. Not that I'm calling for Hayden Hurst to be a top 12 guy, but being drafted in the Cade Otton range, as I will put it now, I think that he can outproduce that. For the wide receivers, it's very difficult because Adam Thielen is you usually follow the money. Let the management tell you who they like because of how much they've paid. But there is always a tax for bad teams to lure in players. And Adam Thielen, who is at the tail end of his career, to get a 3-year, $14 million guaranteed.
Good for you, man.
Yes. Yeah, congratulations to Mr. Thielen. But, I mean, it's hard to look at anything that Thielen has done in the last 4 years and not say it has declined every single year. And, I mean, you know, yards per catch has – 4 years ago we were at 13.9, 12.5, 10.8, 10.2. He put up 70 receptions and just over 700 yards with that high-powered Minnesota offense. I know Jefferson is taking a lot of it, but – if you're the number two to Justin Jefferson, you should be able to put up some decent numbers.
I've got no argument for Adam Thielen being a consistent force, but I will say he's there for hands in red zone. That's where he's been good. Like, the red zone will be where he can contribute. Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah, I like the player a lot.
Very talented, 6'2", 220, higher draft capital than expected. Second round pick, Ole Miss. Should have an early opportunity in this offense, and he's somebody in dynasty leagues that maybe you pay attention to now and hopes for the connection to build between him and a rookie quarterback. DJ Chark, I mean, last year was fine when he had opportunities, but I wouldn't expect a lot. So the wide receiver room, Jason, this is
Well, it's Terrace Marshall's room, right?
Oh, I mean, boy.
Don't forget, Terrace Marshall's there. You're right. It's Adam Thielen, I think, as the one. Probably Mingo and DJ Chark kind of splitting the next duties. Terrace Marshall's there. And Hayden Hurst will probably be second in the team in targets. So, I Bryce Young, if you want to take a bet on Bryce Young because you believe in the talent and you want to see if he scrambles and uses his legs at all in the NFL level and you're not sure where the targets are going to go, but they all count to him, I'm fine with that in best ball. I'm fine with Hayden Hurst in best ball because of how late he is and he should have more targets. I think it's just going to be a really inconsistent offense. If I'm taking a bet on offense here, it's definitely Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders should be the best friend to this rookie quarterback. I think that they're going to try to have the running game open things up and make life easier for Bryce Young, run the ball a lot. We saw it last year, Andy, you talked about it, how you knew they were going to run. They still were able to run. This is a great offensive line. I don't know what's going on with – look, PFF, you do great work. Love your stuff. But these offensive line grades are – what's happening? You have last year's Tampa Bay Buccaneers ahead of last year's Panthers I don't know what you were watching. Same with this year's. And this is an offensive line that can move people. So I like Miles Sanders. I think they'll use him more as a three-down back than a lot of other middle-tier running back selections in fantasy. So I'm in on Sanders, and then I'm kind of just letting everything else be fun to watch and not mine for fantasy with this offense.
Quick thought on Sanders. I will mention it because I think we've been all very pro Miles Sanders as a value. He was on a really good offense last year. He had a lot of games where it was 16 opportunities, 18 opportunities, 21, 12, 13, 12, where they were disaster games on a good offense. So he has been extremely hot and cold. He had nothing in the middle range. He was either very good last year or very bad. And I'm just throwing that out there because
it's a bet on volume.
It's a bet on volume, but it's going to be – he's not scoring 11 times probably.
Yeah, so here's the thing about what happened last year with Miles Sanders. He was not throwing the ball. Jalen Hurts is not is going to check it down, doesn't throw to the running backs that much, and he was barely using the passing game. And then you get around the goal line, and the number one goal line back in the league was Jalen Hurts. So you did have enough touchdowns. And if you look back at Miles Sanders' games where it was like, oh, he had a great game for fantasy, he got the touchdowns that game. And so – I am hoping my bet on Miles Sanders isn't just volume, but it's really almost exclusively about the pass catching work. And that's a projection. That's no guarantee.
He had 20 catches last year. Let's say you give him 50.
Yeah, that's
if you give him 50, which would be his peak, he finishes as a running back what?
Top 20.
14.
Okay. That's a above, I don't think he's above ADP. 50,
I think it's a little ambitious. 50 receptions.
I wonder how much Chuba will get worked in. All right, let's move on. The Saints 7-10. Last season, projected win total was 8. This year, it's up to 9.5.
Okay.
You know, they were not a good offense last season.
So there are this is 9.5. That's the highest,
it's
right?
It's got
to
be the
Saints
highest.
Are projected. Yes, they're the betting favorites.
So Jamal Williams, Derek Carr, Foster Moreau, welcome in. Ingram, Landry, Dalton, see you later. Drafted Kendre Miller, who's starting on the inactive list, dealing with an injury. And here we go. Derek Carr, the journey begins. I have him the highest of the three of us at QB 17. I think, you know, 9 seasons, believe it or not, in Las Vegas or Oakland / Las Vegas, he was between quarterback 13 and 20 every year. I think he's in that range again. And that comes down to having an elite pass catcher in Chris Olave, the return of Mike Thomas, some tight ends that are going to contribute in Moreau and Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill. So I think he's very – like, who would you rather have, Derek Carr or Bryce Young, as a bet this year?
Derek Carr.
Okay. That's how I feel. Yeah. Now, Mike, I don't know if you have it ranked quite that way.
Not necessarily
actually,
for
yes,
fantasy.
Actually, yes, you do. You have him 27-28, though.
Yeah, but I'm not really in on rookie quarterbacks. In like, an Anthony Richardson type of archetype, okay, take the bet. But otherwise, I'm – you know, shying away. And Derek Carr, I probably have him ranked much lower than he'll finish, but it's because all those guys, once you get to a certain range of quarterback, it's like add 2 touchdowns and this quarterback jumps 10 spots. So if his touchdown equity is a little more positive, then he'll finish in that 13 to 20 range, but he's not exciting. And I don't see a path for him to surpass what he has done for the Raiders.
All right, so they're the favorites to win the division, albeit with a low win total. We like winning teams with running backs. Alvin Kamara, his legal situation has gotten a lot of clarity. We don't have a final answer on suspension.
We need the NFL
to talk. It could be
0,
it could be 1, it could be 2. Could be more.
It can go up to 6. I think I've seen...
I think that would be wild.
I think I've seen...
But he's saying it could.
Right. Like
they have
within
the right.
Within the rules, it's 0 to 6 games. That's what's going to happen. And some of the legal fantasy people that I follow and trust the most, they're kind of landing on 4. I'd still be a little surprised if it's 4, but TBD.
So
am I in that legal source that you're trusting?
No. I'm so sorry,
Did you
Mike.
You didn't pass the bar, Mike?
You're not in the list.
I have not.
You haven't attempted it.
Yeah, you haven't failed the bar.
Oh, you know, man.
I
was starting to feel a little bit bad about myself and my situation, but I realized it's because I haven't even tried.
That's right. I got you.
You have not failed the bar.
Excellent.
Alvin Kamara, though, where he's being drafted, it's a bet that I think can really pay off. but I'm the only one that seems to think that. Our consensus ranking's 27, and I've got him at 22. That's ridiculously low for the history of Alvin Kamara. Not that we would expect a return to where he was, but if this offense is more competent, more capable, it was Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston led last year. Like, Derek Carr can move the offense more efficiently than those guys, and Alvin Kamara is their best weapon still behind Chris Olave.
Yeah, he is. I think what is happening, at least in, I think this is happening in the fantasy community, but I know this is happening in my heart. It's the combination of realizing that Alvin Kamara has become less and less efficient, and he has lost a little step. He doesn't look like, you know, second year explosive Alvin Kamara. He's still great. It's the combination of knowing that he's on the way down, combined with the fear of the suspension, that makes me kind of just want to avoid it. But that is probably a mistake, because as much as I like Kendre Miller, and I think he's talented, I think he could, by the end of the season, overtake the starting role. I really do believe that could happen. Most likely, Alvin Kamara is the most talented player in that backfield. This offense will be probably the best one in the division. They'll win more games than others in the division.
What's the quickest path to relevance for a running back?
Pass catching?
Yeah. We've been talking about that a lot. And yeah, he missed some time last year. He still had 57 receptions. He still can catch the football. Josh Jacobs last year made his ascension because Derek Carr threw him the football a lot. We were sitting here going, man, Andy Dalton doesn't do it, or Taysom Hill doesn't do it. Maybe Jameis Winston will do it. I think that's the bet. The bet is that Derek Carr will throw the football to one of the more talented receivers.
I believe you are correct. And I'm going to move Alvin Kamara up a little bit.
And I did pass the bar.
What?
Oh, yeah. Mike, you're a loser again.
Unfortunately, it was the Alaskan state bar, and I can only practice up there.
Oh.
But I do go up from time to time.
Still pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of moose law up there.
There's a lot of moose law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah. Jamal Williams, right now being drafted 8 spots behind Alvin Kamara. We are attracted to 17 rushing touchdowns. I don't know if we're attracted to anything other than his personality beyond the touchdowns, because he's not very good.
No, there's no reason.
He's just really good around the goal line.
Yeah, I'm like OUT on Jamal Williams. I love the dude. Obviously, we know he can get it done. He just had 17 touchdowns, but when I look at it, I want the pass catching of Kamara, or I want the actual athletic youth explosiveness to take over of Kendre Miller. When Kendre Miller got added to this team, it was like, oh, Jamal Williams, you're dead to me. From a fantasy perspective.
What about the famous 4-week rental policy? Because Kendre Miller's probably not established in being used early in the season. That doesn't generally happen, especially coming off an injury. Jamal Williams was paid money by this team. And if Kamara were to miss 4 games, like you said, you get to start the year, Tennessee, Carolina, Green Bay. Could Jamal Williams end up like last year as a top 10 running back just for the first 3 weeks?
It's certainly possible. And once we get the word for Alvin Kamara from the NFL, get the official, is it 0? Where does it end? If it's 4, Jamal Williams, his ADP will rise.
That's
substantially.
True.
But if you're doing best ball right now, it's tough. It's tough because it's, to me, this isn't like Samaje Perine, where I see a chance that Samaje Perine is really integral the entire year for the Denver Broncos as Javonte's trying to get back from the injury. Jamal would be a month rental. And because I think that,
what's a month rental worth at the running back position?
And in the 9th round, I think that's a little too, that might be a little too rich for me.
The thing for me, it's still one of those things where if I were to, you give me a $100 bill and I've got to place a bet, I got to put it on Jamal Williams or I got to put it on Kendre Miller. I'm going to put it on Kendre Miller, and it's not necessarily because I think he has the higher odds. It's because he's going to have the better payout. Should both hit, Kendre Miller will be worth more. I'll get more return on that $100 than I would on Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams might fall into the end zone a couple times, but I just don't see him being otherworldly. And then when Alvin Kamara gets back and as the season progresses, that's where if I'm making the non-Alvin Kamara bet, I'm moving towards Kendre Miller. I'm going to believe what we saw, Mike.
What happens? Like, they paid Jamal Williams, Alvin Kamara is going to play football. How does Kendre Miller, is it just injury?
is
how does he go? How does he pass both those guys to the point where that ticket pays off, as opposed to, like, Jamal Williams is taking the guaranteed payout for the first 3 weeks, but you don't get it anymore. Whereas Kendre Miller, what is the payoff? Like, how does that happen?
The payoff is Kamara gets Petersoned, and where the rookie year, Kamara was, I think, third on the depth chart.
You do not want to get Peterson.
No, you don't. Yeah, it was Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, and then Alvin Kamara was third on the depth chart his rookie year.
And then by, you know, so the, he, after the first month or so.
His path is Kamara's path.
Yes. Correct.
Got it. Chris Olave, looking at all rookie wide receivers since 2014.
Yes, is the answer.
Only Tyreek Hill had a higher target per out run than Olave.
Yes.
I agree with your statement.
Chris Olave has...
Sir, that was not a question.
I'm going to say something here. Chris Olave has number one overall potential.
I like it. I like it.
Wow. Not, no, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
I don't like it. I love it.
I'm not... Obviously, it's
really?
Not a, yes, I believe that. Yeah, I believe he has number one overall potential. I'm not predicting that. I'm not predicting number one, but we always talk about range of outcomes. I think that's true. Because I think he could score 15 times. I mean, I genuinely think that could happen in this offense. I mean, Derek Carr is a good deep ball thrower. Chris Olave's on film last year. Unbelievable.
Yep. When he was given opportunities from Jameis, Olave was coming through with deep receptions. And then Andy Dalton's like, no, I don't do that.
Chris Olave last year, if he hadn't gotten injured, he would be getting
greater
than Garrett Wilson pub this year. That's my only point. And so, do you think Garrett Wilson has that potential? I think we would say I think we would say yeah. So, is it number one? Is it top three? Is it top five? Whatever. Olave is that talented and that discounted at wide receiver 13. So, I like the price. I'm happy with the price. I'd spend it. It's a dependent bet on Derek Carr. No one likes that. No one wants to go down and be like, you know.
Derek Carr gives... Almost always, Derek Carr gives us one elite fantasy option.
I love betting on Olave because there's nothing he can't do.
Do you Olave it?
I love it.
I openly passed on that joke. Like it was in the brain. It went out. I was like, I'm out.
Hey, you made a mistake.
Mike stepped up.
You made a big mistake.
You Olave him?
Oh, I Olave him. He is an exceptional route runner. Great hands, incredible speed. Like you know, he's got world beater speed. There's nothing to not like about him. So I don't have a problem with you saying that you think he's got number one overall potential. But for that to happen, you also have for that to be in the range of outcomes, two things have to happen. Derek Carr's got to be good, which that can be okay. I mean, he supported Davante Adams last year, but also Michael Thomas has got to be done or injured. Michael Thomas can't come and be 140 target type of player or 130 target type of player and have Chris Olave be, also 150 target player.
For sure. And I like the beginning of the sentence where you stated Michael Thomas.
Olave
him? No, not that part. Where you stated Michael Thomas can't be 140 target player, because I believe that statement is true.
Okay.
I don't think that's probably in his range of outcomes anymore. He's going to be he's over 30 at this point in time.
He can still help the offense.
Of course. And you're going to need that. I mean, you have to have somebody be productive. Landry was a compliment to Olave last year. I mean, there were options, but what is the ceiling of the current wide receiver 44 in ADP Michael Thomas? Where can he get to 20?
I think he can be a top 30 guy. Like, he was coming. I mean, it was only 2 weeks, right? What did
he
have?
The first 2 weeks, he was great. He was the wide receiver 8, wide receiver 18.
And it was
touchdowns.
It was
though,
touchdowns.
Right? Yeah, 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
But it's still, he was coming in and getting,
5 for 57.
Decent target share. I think that Michael Thomas is a, I'm okay with the Michael Thomas bet. Not trying to, I got Michael Thomas here, I'm going to get a top 12 wide receiver, but get someone who.
You're not paying for that.
But get someone who helps your team. Like, teams, fantasy football teams need wide receiver 3s and 4s, and Michael Thomas, I think, is someone that I want to bet on to be the fourth
wide receiver
on my team.
44
wide receiver 44
round.
In the ninth.
Okay. All
right. I was trying to figure out what some guys around that range.
Jamal Williams.
Yeah, give me Michael Thomas.
I'll pull up some ADP here. Or you just want the wide receiver position?
Yeah, just I'm just curious some names around there to see how much I actually believe in him.
So Michael Thomas, other wide receivers, Gabe Davis is going right before him.
And I'll take that shot.
You'll take the shot on Gabe Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Juju Smith-Schuster right behind him.
You can give me Michael Thomas on that one.
I think that is correct. Zay Flowers?
Give me Zay.
Yeah, okay. that one's tough. Cortland Sutton somehow is there. Rashad Bateman?
Yeah,
or
I'm
Michael
probably,
Thomas?
Bateman.
And then Jameson Williams. That's wild. With a known six-game suspension in the 10th round. What?
I think he is that good, though.
Jameson?
Yeah. Okay. We didn't talk a lot about him, but I do think that's a really tough situation for fantasy players. Because it's a hold. You got to hold him through the suspension.
Yes.
But the second half of the year with that team that we were talking about yesterday, I don't know. All right, where's the gold at tight end? Give me a couple seconds.
The gold at tight end is going to be Taysom Hill. I liked Juwan Johnson quite a bit until they signed Foster Moreau. Foster Moreau has a connection with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
They have a history. I think Foster Moreau is pretty good. I think Juwan Johnson is pretty good. If you're telling me they're splitting between each other behind Michael Thomas and Chris Olave, I am completely out on fantasy. You can grab him in best ball and hope you get a touchdown here or there. They will have some service, but you can't rely on either of them. So if you're taking the gold, it's Taysom Hill, who's
There's
not
some,
a tight end.
Some gold in them, but them Hill?
He'll
oh.
be a...
oh, man. You passed on the Olave joke for that one?
It was actually Jeremy's joke.
Oh, so it's not your joke.
No, I would never.
Okay, well, then we can say how bad it was.
Yeah.
He could throw
I would have taken credit if I got good reception. Tell you that right now.
You're darn right you would.
Yeah,
I
would have.
You're a smart man.
Would have been my joke.
You know, there's just very few people that can, at the tight end position, go and put up a 20-point game, and Taysom Hill's one of them. So for best ball right now, I actually like him. He's completely undervalued, and you don't have to decide which games he's getting two touchdowns. I mean, like, he'll have probably more than one game this season with two touchdowns. There's not a lot of tight ends you could say that about. So I would take gold there. But for the most part, the mine's pretty empty.
Okay. The Falcons, 7-10 last year. Final team to break down in this division. They've been bet up to 8.5. And they were a 5.5 win total team last season. That puts them number two in the division, I believe, right? 8.5 should put them at two.
Let me just double check that.
Yeah, they have the second highest odds to win the division right now.
Okay.
Confirmed. I called some of my Alaskan lawyer friends, and they confirmed it. They were in a ton of one-score games. They ran the football like crazy. Number one in rushing attempts. Number one in rushing attempt team drafts Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's – Jason was excited.
Yes, I was.
Number three in rushing yards. And they said, let's get somebody that's better than anybody we even have, and let's go back to the well with that. They don't have – a quarterback that is proven in the passing game. So the running game is going to be the recipe. They brought in Taylor Heinicke, a serviceable backup, which is nice to have in case it doesn't work out with Ridder, because I feel like Heinicke could come in with a run first offense and execute.
Arthur has a plan.
Bijan's the biggest story from this team. And to have them projected for that kind of a win total, you know, you've got him at RB4.
Yeah, we've seen Arthur Smith with an we've seen Arthur Smith with an elite, one of the best running backs in the NFL when he had Derrick Henry, and he said, "This is your team. This our identity is you. We're going to let you."
It's what got him this job.
Yeah, we're going to let you carry us. They have been very good at running the ball. I mean, exceptional. Even with, Tyler Allgeier, he's pretty good. But he's not Bijan, and they are going to make this team about Bijan. I think it will open up things for them in the passing game the way that for the Titans when he was there. You know, the Titans were always one of the most efficient red zone scoring teams, and it wasn't just because of Derrick Henry. Some of that was in the passing game because – it's tough when you know that you've got a superstar running back that can just flat out beat you. You are really focused on that part of the game, and efficiency can go up elsewhere, which is why, you know, I love the consolidation of this offense. And my biggest fears are that Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier and some of these other players will work in more, because if it can be really a situation where it's Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. Just Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts.
Are you
and
speaking this into existence?
I am, but I'm just saying the consolidation between
those
three.
He's got the candles out and the seance.
Those three elite
it's the
weapons.
Secret.
It is a scary proposition because last year we had so many times in the running back room, and mind you, it wasn't Bijan, where we were like, oh, this is weird. This is a Caleb Huntley game out of nowhere. Oh, this is weird. Like, you know, Cordero was supposed to be the guy, and then it became – like, Cordero was supposed to be the guy, and it became right. Algier.
And
you know?
And I don't think that happens. I don't – because the, when you invest what you've invested in Bijan –
yeah, it's very unlikely, but there may be plays that you're frustrated with.
It would make a bad NFL decision just way worse if you spent that equity on a running back and then used a platoon – ew, oh,
get
man.
Huntley in
oh,
here.
Man.
I think platoon's too strong of a word.
I would lose my mind.
But like Tyler Algier, like you said.
He broke the team rookie record.
He didn't just do that. Back. His last four games of the year, he was on pace for 1,800 yards at 5.5 a clip.
He's good.
And so I don't think platoon's the right word. But occasional surprises, a red zone handoff, a third down or a play that you're not expecting – that kind of stuff is going to crop up, and it's not going to be enough to make you regret drafting Bijan. It's just going to be the dynamic of a team that runs the ball more than everybody. If you run the ball more than everybody, like you brought up Derrick Henry. I hate to say this to you because I don't know if you can handle it.
Okay.
But Bijan is not physically what Derrick Henry is.
I can handle it.
Okay. And you agree?
Yeah, because he's an exceptional pass catcher, and he's way better. Go on.
Physically, he's smaller. Physically, he may not be able to hold up to the same. They may not want to give him the same level of punishment. I wouldn't. If I drafted Bijan, I don't punish this guy year one into the entire equation when I have a 1,000-yard rusher that I can use with him.
Sure. And handing the ball to Derrick Henry is not punishing him.
Right. It's punishing
the defense.
It's
punishing everybody else.
That's exactly right. So, you know, the defense wasn't great last year. You hope that this team can become an efficient, consolidated offense. That would give Drake London hope. That would give Kyle Pitts hope. A bet on London and Pitts, unfortunately, like it was last year, a bet on Mariota and Ridder. This year it's a bet on Ridder and Heinicke. So Kyle Pitts is not being drafted where he was last year. He's a fifth-round draft pick. Drake London, a fifth-round draft pick. They're basically back-to-back. If you are sitting there and you don't have a tight end, and you need a wide receiver, which one are you taking? They're being drafted together.
I'm going after Kyle Pitts. He is as good as Drake London as a receiver, and he plays tight end. I've obviously been out on Kyle Pitts the last two seasons, but I believe, you know, rookie year was because he was a rookie. Sophomore year was because of his cost. He was, you know, people be drafting him in a second round. This year, he is... You know, I get him in the sixth round all the time. If he's in the sixth, I don't have Mark Andrews, I pretty much take a shot on Kyle Pitts because I don't think there's a world where he just sucks, where he's just terrible and a complete waste of a sixth round pick. But I do think the world exists.
You don't see the world that existed last year?
No,
see last year?
I know you experienced it firsthand. You have those
wounds.
Well,
I'm just saying that
scars.
World, I do see that world because it literally happened.
It happened with a different quarterback, and maybe Ridder is worse than Mariota last year, but I remember watching the film.
It also happened with the other quarterback he had.
Well, he had 1,000 yards.
That would be Matt Ryan.
With Matt.
He was great.
He had over 1,000 yards. He just didn't have touchdowns, so that killed him for fantasy. Last year, Kyle Pitts at the tight end position had the highest percentage of uncatchable passes, which is, if you go back and watch any Falcons games, it's very frustrating. And sure.
He's got the same head coach. That frustrated us last year with the route calls and the choices.
Yes, but there were many plays where it was Mariota's fault, 100% missing Kyle Pitts. Maybe Desmond Ridder is no better than Marcus Mariota, but I think it's worth the bet. And you also, Andy, you mentioned you have the safety net of Taylor Heinicke should they get through those first few weeks and realize Desmond Ridder is it's not the future. It's not going to happen. Heinicke can get it done for Kyle Pitts to return a fifth-round value.
Breaking news.
Oh, no. What do we got?
Vikings first-round wide receiver Jordan Addison was pulled over early this morning for driving his Lamborghini at 140 miles an hour.
140? Go goose.
140 and a 55.
Well, he can't drive 55.
No, he can't.
No,
we don't.
Jordan, what are you doing, man?
Reckless driving, citation for speeding.
Wait, hold on. He didn't get arrested?
140 in a 55. And I, look.
Just after 3 a.m. So
we've been here with another wide receiver and it didn't end well.
Who was it?
Well, that one was he was intoxicated.
Oh. Well, I'm just saying if you go at that speed, you're in trouble, man.
Yeah.
Not good.
That's not. Come on.
I honestly,
man.
When this news came through just now, I thought it was related to the injury that we don't know about. So
That's unsafe.
Come on, people.
So something probably not endearing himself to the team at that exact moment in time.
No.
All right. Let's break the division winner down. Who do you think takes this division? I actually think it's a really tough one to predict.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I know my number one.
Let's go one at a time. Okay. Well, no, that makes it confusing after the beginning. So I'm going to go. I think Atlanta wins the division.
I think Atlanta wins the division.
I think the Saints are second. I think Panthers are third. I think Tampa's fourth.
I went back and forth with those first two, so I'm almost exactly what you are at. But I have the Saints winning, Falcons second, Panthers third, and the Bucks last.
I will go Falcons, Saints, Bucks, Panthers.
Okay. All right. That'll do it for today's Saturday edition of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Check out the Ultimate Draft Kit available right now at ultimatedraftkit.com. Back with you Tuesday. See you later.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of the podcast. Since you're still hanging around, I'd like to personally invite you to become a part of our thriving fantasy football community. Get access to exclusive Discord channels, extra episodes, fantasy football tools and resources, and the personal satisfaction of supporting this independent podcast. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.